Good Saturday morning, Arizona homeowners. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. That's the Dunkin' Donuts box of Joe we're pouring here for everybody in the studio. We've got John J. Harper, my son Romy, my wife sweet Jennifer, and myself. We're here to take your calls at 1-888-767-4348. You'll hear my daughter, Julia, pick up the phone and get your name, where you're calling from, and what your question is about the garden, which is where we're going to spend this first hour, in the garden with Mr. John J. Harper. So go ahead, belly up to the phone, keep your radio turned on, sip that Dunkin' Donuts coffee, because America and Rosie on the House run on Dunkin'. Good morning, Mr. Harper.
How are you?
I'm pretty well, pretty well.
Had a little storm last night.
Yeah, you know, even though we did not get any rain, you know, you may have seen where Flagstaff set a rain record day this week. And I think Apache Sitgreaves National Forest actually dropped all their fire restrictions. So we're
4 inches in Sonoyta yesterday, according to my source.
We're getting some coverage every place other than here.
Yeah, the big bubble that lies over us. I walked out of the gym yesterday about 4:35 o'clock, and it was actually sprinkling, and it sprinkled enough to make a mud ball out of my car.
That's about it.
It cooled things. You know, after that blew through, it was actually pretty pleasant out.
Not too bad.
Yeah. So even if it just does that for us, why, we'll take it. And we're getting rain in the critical areas of the state where we need to make sure we get rain to keep these nasty forest fires at bay.
Absolutely.
And make the grass grow and the watershed flow and all of that stuff. Well, that's good.
Jennifer and I were over on the far eastern part of the state earlier in the week, and it's wet, but it hadn't started greening up yet. It's still pretty brown, but it's wet.
It won't take long now.
Nah, it ought to get going. Going really well. Hey, in today's show, 9 to 11, when we're talking about house and home, we're going to be talking about things homeowners do wrong. Spending money, trying to save money.
Yep.
Primarily revolves around your air conditioning bill in the summer.
Trying to control utility costs.
Yes, 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 yes. But right now, in the garden, we'd like to talk about, you always hear of grandma's remedies for this or that, ants or weeds or whatever it is. And we thought we'd kind of just address some of these legends, myths.
Yeah, and what would be really interesting, if people have some, to call in with those.
Okay.
That'd be great.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Talking old wives' tales in the garden.
So a couple that, you know, come to my mind is, you know, many people think if you take a nail and drive it into the trunk of the tree, that it can get some iron from that.
No. Nobody believes it.
Oh, yeah. Haven't heard that one in a while.
Oh, no.
That's one that's out there. You know, and I doubt you can even buy a tin can, but people used to think if you buried some tin cans, you know, as they rusted in the ground, that you'd get some iron out of that process, which I suppose
I'd be more inclined to believe that than a nail.
A little, but, you know, and of course, putting coffee grounds around your acid-loving plants to give them acidity. I think the only acid you get from coffee is when you drink it in your stomach, not in the ground. There's all kinds of little concoctions that people mix to kill bugs, like, you know, Joy dishwashing detergent, or we have one gentleman that swears, what is it, kerosene for ants? I think we've got that archived somewhere.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of them that are out there, and there are probably some that work. Another one, we get a lot of calls on gophers, right?
Sure.
Putting bubble gum or a chewing gum, sticks of chewing gum out and let the gophers chew it up, and it plugs them up, I guess.
So, I don't know. I got
an awful way to go. I know that.
I've got an uncle. He doesn't live here, so I don't know if it works. But, I mean, his home remedy for anything and everything always starts with a can of beer.
Okay. Do you have to take two or three swigs first?
He'll mix it with this to do that. He'll mix it with this to do that. But can't we use beer as kind of a critter control in the garden?
Well, snails. And that does actually work.
Does it?
If you put beer in a pie tin or a shallow dish in the garden, the malts or the hops or, you know, that is a bait, is an attractant, because in
well, sure, set one down, and how many flies are on the rim? You set a beer down, it flies all around the rim. It attracts something.
Yeah. You know, but in snail and slug baits, we use meal, ground corn meals, you know, in mixed in with the poison. So, you know, the attractant of that, and then, they, of course, they crawl into the dish of liquid and drown. And then I guess you're just marinating your escargot for the evening.
Oh, man, I don't know.
So that one actually does work.
Okay.
You know, putting pie tins, you know, I mean, but buy cheap beer. Don't buy really good beer.
Okay. All right. Old Milwaukee works for that.
Yeah, 12-pack of, yeah.
Keystone Light.
Keystone. That's the one I was thinking
of. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you've got an old wives' tale or an old farmer's trick that you use in the garden, we'd enjoy hearing about it. We're going to start with our calls right now. And Chandler with Matt. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you.
Well, I got a question for you. I just got back. I was in Chicago for about 2 weeks, and, you know, Murphy's Law says that when you go out of town, something bad's going to happen, and I had a break in a water line, and the only remedy that my relatives could think of was to turn the water off to the house. So my grass is all completely dead. I'm just wondering if there's anything, aside from fixing the water line, getting the water going, if there's anything I should be doing right now to try to revive that grass, or if it's just too hot to Arizona-esque for it, anything to happen.
Well, first of all, I hope you had a good trip. I hope it was worth it. you know, you'd be surprised. You get some water on our hybrid Bermudas and Bermuda grasses, and they can look terrible. In fact, we get the opposite of this when people want to kill their lawn to, you know, to take out lawn to put in a xeriscape or a gravel type landscape. They just quit watering it thinking that'll kill it, and it just doesn't. That stuff can go a long time without water and look terrible. In fact, be down to bare dirt. You start watering it, there's enough roots that are alive there, it will come back. You'll have to have some patience. You'll have to get some fertilizer once it starts greening up and growing, and get some fertilizer on it. But especially with the humidity now, I mean, lawns in the last couple of weeks, you can't hardly mow them enough. They are growing so fast now. You start putting some water and fertilizer back on that, it'll be okay.
And he was talking a two-week period of time. I recently revitalized a lawn I started last summer that had been not taken care of or watered for
2 years. Yeah, oh yeah.
And
no,
that's, yeah. I started probably about April, and the only thing I did was put a little mulch where it was really bare.
Yeah.
I tell you what, by the end of August, it was full, and then I did the winter lawn, and it's, you know, water now. I mean, I didn't do anything special.
Well, like I say, we get all kinds of people think that they want to take out their lawn, just quit watering it. And as soon as they plant some plants out there and put gravel around it and start watering around every one of those plants, they've got Bermuda grass coming back. So good old water will probably bring it right back. Not probably, will bring it back. And, you know, it won't take as long as you think. I don't
appreciate it.
And it doesn't take long for lack of water to, I mean, I've become very in tune with my lawn. Very in tune. It's been a 20-year battle, a 25-year battle, and I think I'm finally getting it. My lawn, babe.
It looks darn good this year. Mm-hmm.
But I had one sprinkler head. Jennifer and I were gone for 3 or 4 days. One sprinkler head that got a little bit of clog in it, mm-hmm. There it was, right there. The brown. You could see the grass
starting to
stressing
gray
and gray
and silver. Yep.
Well, let me ask this: how do you unclog that?
Pocket.
Do you do the water running or off?
Well, it depends how bad the clog is. I mean, this was just a little bitty pebble in the little smile part of the pop-up head. So I was just able to reach in there with a small screwdriver pocket knife and pop it out. But sometimes it's, you know, shaves
of grass
and stuff.
It depends on the outdoor temperature.
It does that, too.
If it's 105, I just turn them on and go out there and get wet.
Yeah,
you know, who
absolutely.
Cares?
Absolutely.
If it's 65, that's a whole other story.
But you're right. Right now, boy, the lawns are just loving life right now.
As long as they're getting enough water. I did have a very good customer in Mesa that had some lawn struggles for years and years and years. And I finally met with him and said, he's got a 35-year-old lawn. I said, Brian,
yeah,
why don't you just resod this?
Yeah.
Well, he did, and it's gorgeous, but he made one comment to me, because we were talking about water bills, which I got my water
Ooh,
bill the other day.
Baby.
It's more than my electric
bill. My lawn looks good, but my water bill.
Well, but, and he came to the conclusion on his own. He just said, I don't think I was ever watering my lawn enough. To really have a nice lawn, it takes some water. So you've got to make a decision how bad you want a lawn. And if you're going to have it, then invest the money in water and fertilizer and have a good one. Or don't have one at all.
Or call EasyTurf.
Well,
synthetic grass.
That's the other option.
Call never water, man.
Have you noticed how many high school football fields are converting to artificial turf?
Don't bring that up to me right now.
Oh, okay.
Is that really the best use of the school system's money?
Oh, I'm just saying.
There's one real close to my house. That field's been torn up down 12 inches below grade. Big equipment out there, and I'm thinking, really?
Well, they're using all that solar money they're getting from all the solar plants.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's it, I'm sure.
You know, I will say in some of those cases, I know booster clubs have paid for those fields. I don't know about this. I know the school you're talking about because I drive by it every day, too. And I don't know who's paying for that. But some of the early ones were booster club money. Well, that's fine if they want to spend that money on
Charles
it.
Charles Keating ain't in our booster club.
All right, it's 1-888-767-4344.
There's a whole other subject now.
Rosie, for you, when we get back, more about how to spend some tax money.